Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio. Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio.
Right, welcome to the Indie Prem podcast, and I'm located on the island of Barra, and I'm very pleased to say I've got the Member of Parliament for the Western Isles, Angus Brendan-McNeill, with me. Hello to you, Angus.
Hi there. Thank you for having me on. We've got half an eye on Barra versus Acre Saints at the moment, football game just in front of us, but we will go back to constitutional politics as well.
Could you give me an idea of up to date of how you're feeling regarding the movement towards independence in Scotland?
Well, I think, you know, it's been tied into Brexit, and the mandate sort of stemmed from the a material change brought on by Brexit. I would argue that material change has happened. I also feel the SNP have gone far enough in trying to bring about censor Westminster. The majority of Scottish MPs agree with the majority of the Scottish people, and that's MPs from all parties, who, apart from the Tories, of course, who voted to revoke Article 50. Now, the rest of Westminster refuses to revoke Article 50 by quite a substantial majority, and I think the SNP should be saying something like, revoke Article 50 or we're moving on to independence. There's a lot of chasing of a second Euro referendum in the SNP at the moment, but I think, well, certainly there is no mandate for that. We've tried on that one, we failed on that one, and again, I think it's time for us to pivot and to follow up on our raison d'etre, a reason for being, our mandate that we have. There is no mandate from anybody for a Euro referendum, but there's certainly a mandate for an independence referendum, and we're three-fifths through that time. And now would seem the opportune moment to start to press that. And I think there are three parts to that. There's the campaign, there's the mechanism, and then there's the naming of the date. And certainly the campaign could be underway. We could see weekend after weekend after weekend stories placed by the Scottish Government, by the SNP, making the case for independence, warming the people up for independence. We then have to figure out the mechanism, and then we've got to name a date.
Absolutely, because so many people are being frustrated by the waste of time that we've had since Brexit was called, and that we should be using that as an argument, because our voice, your voice in Parliament, hasn't been heard. The people of Scotland are seeing that on a much greater basis.
Yeah, I think that there's a feeling that time has sort of passed us by, and we've been following the Brexit timetable and the Brexit agenda. And, you know, we should have been setting our own agenda, really. I mean, Theresa May is certainly kicking the can down the road. And the huge danger is that the Scottish Government and the SNP follow suit, kicking a smaller can down the same road a few paces behind. Really, this is an opportunity now when the UK is at sixes and sevens, UK government is even worse. You know, Ireland didn't wait to see what the settled path of the UK was. Iceland didn't wait to see what the settled path of Denmark was in 1944. And countries who become independent from other countries with the reluctance of the larger partner seldom wait to see what the settled path is of the country they're trying to get independent from. So if we're going to take our independence, we have to be self-starting. And we have to take the opportunity that's hugely presenting itself at the moment. We also got to be prepared to make arguments. The idea that Brexit's a change and that independence is another change can easily be countered by saying Brexit's a bad change, but independence is the change that's going to return you back to the more status quo-like situation, certainly a status quo that other countries enjoy, where they're inside a trade bloc and benefiting from the many trade agreements that trade bloc has.
And a greater democracy as well.
Absolutely. I mean, that's even without mentioning the great democratic arguments where we have the government that we elect. I mean, we seem to somehow accept in Scotland that we just will live with governments that we don't vote for. I mean, imagine living in a country where you have a government you want doing the things you want, and that aren't always doing things that are bad for your society. I think we're almost institutionalised in Scotland to accepting that our government isn't going to do the things we want and the things we think that are good for us and are needed in our society. And I particularly look at Iceland, the Faroes, Norway, Denmark, countries all around about us, and we could be ahead.
Yeah.
But at the moment, we're trailing.
Nicola mentioned in the United Nations in the US regarding the Section 30 being a pivotal movement and something that should be copied throughout the world. Do you feel she's put us in a box that we can't get out that corner? We've got to stick with that we should be. A lot of people in Scotland feel that we should be using other methods other than getting the Section 30 to get permission. We shouldn't be asking permission.
Well, I think
we've got to have it democratic. The people, we've got to carry the whole of the population, absolutely, or as many of the population with us.
I mean, I think a Section 30 has its merits, but only insofar as they agree with the democratic mandate of the people of Scotland. And if they don't give a Section 30, then we have to find another way. One of the things that's been frustrating is the Scottish Government hasn't even asked about the Section 30 to have it cleared up. Because if there's a snap election called tomorrow, it's kind of difficult to tell the people that we now might make the election about a majority of SNP MPs when you haven't exhausted, as far as the government's point of view, you haven't exhausted the Section 30, which was why I wrote to the UK government in October, November, asking about the Section 30, which of course they refused and said now is not the time, as they always do. So at least they've probably got a bit of cover and a bit of an insurance policy. If there's a snap general election called, we now can make it about a majority of SNP MPs as a mandate for independence, which was the challenge Margaret Thatcher put down to the SNP 25 years ago. So we've got, maybe longer in fact, so we could have a route forward. The Section 30 gives us so far, but we really can't be afraid of finding other ways to test the people's will. And countries to become independent, the United States of America took 8 years before they're accepted by the Great Britain, as it was at the time. So we've got to be ready to move and ready to take the opportunity. It'd be nice to do it with the blessing of our neighbours, but at the same time we can't let the Scottish people's view go untested in this time when we have a parliamentary mandate.
Yeah. In relation to being the Member of Parliament for the Western Isles, you're in a unique position. How would you like to see independence change for the better for the Western Isles? What improvements would you like to see? For obviously we've got lots of listeners in the Western Isles.
Absolutely, and I'm very glad to hear that as well. The reason I got into independence in the first place was because of the idea that it could change life in the Western Isles. And I remember a chat we had one time in the early days when I was an MP talking to some colleagues and some staff who said, would you support independence if it was going to make Scotland poorer? And some of them would live in the caves, apparently. I said, no chance, because there's no way I'm emptying the Western Isles on a political pipe dream. I'm emptying it of people. Along came Alex Salmond at the time and stole a cigarette of somebody and lit up a cigarette, and I thought, I'm going to get the best of arguments here. So I asked Alec, would you support independence if it was going to make Scotland poorer? Alec took a draw off the cigarette and he said, nah, he said, I've tried poverty, it's shite. And I think that's been one of the guiding lights. But, you know, when you go to other countries and you see that the Faroe Islands are probably the best example. The Faroe Islands have doubled their population in the 20th century. The Outer Hebrides have halved it. The Faroe Islands today have got two undersea tunnels linking their islands. They've got another undersea tunnel in construction and another one in planning. So within about 5 years, they're going to have four undersea tunnels, which adds to the 2030 land tunnels. The population has doubled in the 20th century, so as I said, when ours has halved, they've got the best 4G in the world, they've got their own mobile phone telephone company that has got unrivalled coverage out to sea, they've got their own airline, running Airbus A320s, all for 50,000 people. So when you see other places and you know that these sort of aspirations are not a pipe dream, but they're a living reality,
yep,
for people closer to me standing here in Barra than London is, but also would be argued by people in London that if you'd say Barra and the Outer Hebrides and Lewis and Harris are remote, well, what are the Faroes? Now, the Faroese have got 10 times the 4G speed that they do in central London.
Yeah.
And when the Faroese CEO of the telecom company went to London to try and get London to be interested in allowing their company to come and give the Scottish Islands the best telephone network in the UK, he tested that at the door of DCMS versus the Faroe Islands and found it actually to be that tenth, but he couldn't get in because London said no. So, you know, if we had power and authority here, we could have improved our telephone service to be amongst the best in the world.
Transport links
overnight, and the transport links on that, and you know, we could have between the tunnels and between the telephones, we could have, and the air, as we've seen from what they've got there, and the ferry services they've got there, we could be transforming life here. Then the population is increasing, particularly increasing amongst young women. It's got the highest fertility rate in Europe at the moment in the Faroe Islands, and they're very close to us. They're our neighbours.
Yeah. Finally, Angus, any message that you have, not just for the Western Isles, but the whole of Scotland, for getting people active, campaigning, communicating, converting?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to counter is the idea that leaving the European Union will be the same, or it's the same as leaving the UK Union. The reality is the UK Union is a political union. The European Union is a trade bloc with trade agreements. People don't walk out of trade blocs and trade agreements the way the UK is, but many people leave political unions, and that's been a well-trodden path. We've got 200 nations now that are independent of the United Nations. It was about 100 years ago, 50. 150 have trodden that path. Scotland can do that. There's nothing that's holding Scotland back. Lack of bottle and lack of self-belief, some critics might say. Yep. And we've got to prove that wrong. We've got everything that we have going for it, that we've got going for us. We've nothing to fear but fear itself. If we don't take this opportunity now, it ain't going to get any better. It's going to get worse. Just remember the lies we were told in 2014 of guaranteeing your place in the European Union, of don't stay in the UK, lead the UK. All that seemed to be clear nonsense now. I mean, if we had taken our independence, firstly, Brexit wouldn't have happened because it's an imperial adventure. But secondly, we'd be catching up with the Irelands, the Norways, the Icelands of this world, the Denmarks of this world, and we're making a material difference to people's lives. Instead, we've got food banks, we've got sanctions to the DWP, we've got a sort of a nasty overspill of view towards migrants. All this can change and will change, but people have got to step up and take responsibility themselves and take responsibility for their neighbours and their communities, and they've got to vote for independence and demand independence. And then when independence comes, they've got to be responsible and active during that period too, to make the society we want to have,
to make it work. Well, Angus, you've broken away from the half-time at a football game here. I was expecting the half-time to be 15 minutes and it was 4 or 5 at least. Angus, thanks very much indeed for your contribution to the Indie Pram podcast.
It's obviously a fitter type of footballer you see in Barra.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
So, from Indie Pram, that's goodbye from Angus Brendan McNeil.
Indie Pram is Indie Pram on Indie Live Radio. Indie Pram is Indie Pram.
Well, here we are in the Outer Hebrides, located at Stornoway. We're actually in the Stornoway Golf Club. It's a social evening, the night before the war. And a guest for the Indie Pram podcast is Paul Wright. Paul, very good evening to you.
Good evening, Ray.
Paul, what do you think of having a march in Stornoway?
Well, it's great to be here. I'm looking out on our own pipe band. They are gathered here and such a lovely bunch of people. I must say one thing though, you know, I always find the idea of the word march difficult.
Yeah.
I also find rally difficult.
Yeah, they are.
People who don't do politics give them a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a Dundee Dundar?
Yeah.
And Abbott, you're doing it already. You're laughing. When I said march, you didn't smile.
Uh-huh.
People who don't do politics will smile and laugh at such a name. That has an impact on their neurology.
Right.
You see what I mean? Why don't we have a gathering, an event, a Cayley?
That's a good idea.
You know, a Stornoway stroll.
Yeah.
It's unthreatening.
Yeah. So we should be reframing our own language.
We should reframe the way we do our events so that they will reach more people.
Yeah.
Oh, just a march, a rally. What do they associate that with? The extremes of left and right.
Correct.
And protest. Right. We are not protesting. We are stating that we want an independent Scotland.
Yeah. That's great. Right, to get on to the independence work that we have to do, you're quite a specialist when it comes to canvassing. Would you like to inform listeners on your points?
I think the main thing people have to understand is that when we say canvassing in terms of independence, we don't mean canvassing in terms of party political politics. We're not there to convince people to vote for one party or another. We are there for them to think about the constitutional future. You are not going to get there by arguing with them. We've done all that.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, we've won over the people who are attuned to the idea of facts. Now we're in a situation where we have to win over people who don't do politics. They will have hopes for the future. We must be listening to them. We don't do that on the doorsteps. We do that in social clubs, in pubs, in hairdressers, at the bus stop. Canvassing is all of that.
Yeah.
Be visual, have that yes badge, but don't mention independence.
No.
If you can help them with their lives, yeah, they will think, these yes people don't go on and on about it.
Yeah.
I say to my own group in Brecon, we must have everyone, someone in every social group in Brecon wearing a yes badge. Don't mention yes, but be visible.
Yeah.
So that when the time comes, people know who to ask.
Yeah.
Oh, you're one of these yes people. You tell me about this currency option.
Yeah.
Yes? Because by now we should all be up to speed with all the ins and outs of it.
Yeah.
We weren't.
Self-education nowadays, there's so much more facts are available to the grassroots movement that we should be paying attention to that.
Right. I myself started, with the heart and not sure in the head until I did the research. And then I was firm, yes, both ways.
Convinced.
Now that took me a year or so to come to. Now we should all be in a position to argue it from the head. But as I say, arguing it doesn't work.
Now we've got listening works. Now we've got a competition from a singer, but can still hear you fine. I was going to ask you about Business for Scotland. You've been involved with Business for Scotland with the ambassador course.
Yes. Yeah, it's, if you're not signed up, people, get involved. It deals with the neuroscience of how the brain actually works, and it talks a lot about what's called reframing. This is the idea that people have a subconscious attitude.
Yeah.
And you are not going to win them over by shouting at them. No. What you are going to do is actually reinforce their prejudice. You have to sow seeds of doubt about their own mindset. And don't ram it home.
Yeah.
Let them spend the time coming up to themselves. Because they are the people who will go to other people like them and say, well, actually, and that well, actually, is very important. Well, actually, I'm not sure about that. Yeah?
Yeah. Because there's so many in the grassroots movement feel a natural lack of confidence in discussing aspects of self-determination. I'm not sure what points they should use, what information they should have. And would you agree that Business for Scotland is an ideal location to work towards doing their courses to be able to gain that confidence?
Yes, because you're not there to argue facts. You are there to use people's own mindsets to enable them to understand things better.
Yeah. Right, things are moving very quickly on the independence front, especially from this last week in Holyrood, and we've got the SNP conference coming up ahead. What do you think we should be doing as far as the grassroots movement going forward now?
Now we have to be doing, like I said, getting people into local social groups. We need to be working on individuals one by one. We need to have our communities mapped. Do you know who is going to vote yes in every street where you live?
Yeah.
These are the areas that many of us have been saying for some time now, you have to have ready before we can enter an official campaign that might only be 6 weeks long.
Yeah, so
Do not waste your time.
We can't hang
about.
People
will never agree with you.
Yeah.
You have to be supporting, helping, and promoting activities within your own community. Mm-hmm. Make your own community independent, and they will understand independence for Scotland.
Well, thanks very much indeed, Paul. Thank you, let's look forward to a fantastic gathering.
Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio. Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio.
This is the Indie Prime podcast from the stars of the Stornoway March. And with me is Alistair Allen, the MSP for the Western Isles. A very good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, yeah.
What's your impression of having a march in Stornoway in your home territory?
Well, it's great. It's the first time we've had a formal march here for Scottish independence, but there's long been an SNP and other groups here campaigning, particularly in 2014. But it's great to see a sunny day, people out and about, and people coming from other places too to join us. Particularly good to see English Scots for independence campaigning here. We have people who've come to make their homes in the Western Isles from England, and it's good that they know that this is about them too.
Yeah, absolutely, because we've got a message to put out that independence is all-encompassing for everyone in the population of Scotland. How are your feelings in relation to the movement now towards a referendum or a vote or giving the public a say?
Well, there was an opinion poll out today that showed support for independence on 49%, up from the 45% at the referendum. So that's very encouraging to see that kind of movement, that kind of trend. And also that the First Minister's been very clear in the last few days that the Scottish Government, the Scottish Parliament are supporting independence, and it's very much up to the UK Government to decide whether or not they intend to stand in the way of that.
Yeah. You're shooting off halfway through the march or the gathering for the simple reason you've got to get down to the conference. What are you looking forward to out from the conference?
I'm making my way to conference. The plane was full, so I'm going by ferry, and I'm making use of the time by holding a surgery on the ferry. So today will be a packed day, and I'll get to the second day of conference. I'm looking forward to a conference where we talk about the positive vision that independence holds out for Scotland. And I think rather than probably debate about the details of the timing of what bit of independence is done first, I think we're going to talk about the why of independence and why independence matters to people and why the UK shouldn't stand in the way.
Very much so, insofar as the talk within the grassroots movement of reframing the discussion, that we shouldn't be concentrating on facts and figures, which will actually be organised and agreed and put to the people once we're independent. At the moment, it's the process and the benefits and the positive message we have to give.
Well, that's all true, and the other bit of it's true as well is that events like this are important because they show that there is a popular support for independence. One of the arguments I remember being made in 2014 or early on in the 2014 referendum by a friend who was voting no was, well, you don't have a popular movement, do you? Well, we increasingly visibly do have a popular movement, SNP Conference, which is just part of the S movement, I know, but a big part of it is massively increased in scale from what it was, and so are events like these.
Are you pleased that this has been locally generated and locally organised?
It has been. It's not been run by me or other politicians. It's been organised locally. It's very much been a grassroots thing. We've got Yes Bikers here today. We've got people from the islands, people who've decided to make a visit out of this. It's a really nice mixture of people, and it's a family event.
And you've got the first outing of the Sir Alba Pipers.
We do indeed. We've got them first, and we're very proud to have that distinction.
Excellent. Been a pleasure meeting you. Thank you very much indeed. Good luck in conference.
Okay. Cheers. Cheers.
Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio. Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio.
Right, I'm now talking to John Mitchell, who's a councillor here on the Western Isles. John, what's your thoughts on this march?
Yeah,
today?
Well, I'm the SNP councillor for Harrison South Locks, and myself, my granddaughter, and my wife were at the Inverness All Under One Banner march, and I wouldn't have missed this for the world. I thought it was going to be a fairly poor turnout, but really, considering the weather has not been great, it's a fantastic turnout, and I think the whole Stornoway were hanging out the windows, and I hoped that when they were, they suddenly saw, well, maybe there's something in this SNP after all, and maybe it's not a question of if, but when, and that's what we all dearly hope for. I have a if anybody gets the Stornoway Gazette, by the way, that was published yesterday, I've got a 1,400-word article on the reasons why I vote for the SNP. I tried to keep it brief, but Westminster's made such a mess of things, very difficult to keep it brief. There's so many things that you want to hammer them for. So I'm very hopeful that the march has stirred up people that, you know, maybe are on the fence, voted no or weren't sure the last time, and maybe we'll vote this time. Brexit on board as well. It has to be a major issue where Scotland has been virtually sidelined, ignored, and I think that people are starting to realise that we are overdue our own independence.
What do you think of the fact that there are so many youngsters on the streets today taking pictures, smiling and laughing? Is that not a great sign?
Fantastic. I mean, as I said, I mean, I'm 70 this year, so it's not about me. I brought my 8-year-old granddaughter. It's about them. That's what this is all about. It's about their future, because, you know, we've had to suffer a Tory government that we never voted for since 1955. That's democracy in action for you. I says now we want our own country, our own democracy. And it, like you say, it was just wonderful marching through the centre of Stornoway and seeing young people, people hanging at the windows. And I think that this situation is catching their imagination, and I hope that that imagination will transform into the vote when the referendum too comes for Scotland.
Yeah. So there was a massive amount of support for the march, a really, really amazing number. A lot of people have travelled from all over England, Scotland, or even from England to come to this march. Well, the people now have had a sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much do you think that's going to stir up and make it easier for conversion of either undecided to consider seriously the aspect of independence? Mm-hmm. Because obviously this march is a grassroots and it's not particularly political. But, you know, we realise that the SNP are the only party that can actually carry us through there. How much of a message is this march, gathering?
I was a bit concerned when I realised that today and tomorrow, of course, is the spring conference of the SNP in Edinburgh, and a lot of aficionados of the Scottish National Party would be quite rightly in attendance there. And I was absolutely gobsmacked when I saw the attendance at the march today, and I think it's going to be a catalyst. And I was at the Inverness one, and this is going to be repeated throughout the country. I think people that were undecided are going to get the message that here is an opportunity. As my wife has said many occasions, at Culloden, people laid down their life for independence. All we have to do is put a cross in a box.
Absolutely. Well, John, it's been great to meet you. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
No problem. Anytime.
All the best.
Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio. Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio.
Right, next on the Indie Prime podcast is Cathy Hannaway. Cathy was the organiser, one of the organisers for the Outer Hebrides for Independence march and rally. And she's spoken quite a few times on IndieLive.radio. The rally is just about over. What's your feelings?
Tired, if I'm honest. But can I first of all say thanks to IndieLive Radio for my lovely shiny new badge? Very much appreciated, guys. Thank you. It's been quite a euphoric kind of day. You know, got up this morning, really didn't know how it was all going to play out. Yeah. Well, in our heads we knew how we wanted it to play out.
Yeah.
But it actually, because we were worried, would this happen or that happen? But it all went smoothly from start to finish.
Why did you want one in Stornoway for a start off, and how did it come about?
Independence is important to us here in Stornoway as well. We want the same as everyone else all over Scotland. But unfortunately for the Outer Hebrides, we're a bit more laid back. A lot of people in the islands have been brought up with our religious upbringing, you know, where you're supposed to keep quiet about things and you're not supposed to talk about things and so on and so forth. But we just decided, you know what, maybe we could do this year. Maybe we can do this year. So my friend Heather and I were sitting at my kitchen table one afternoon, and I said, did you see that Edinburgh march? And she said, no, I haven't had time, I've been working. And I said, pulled it up on YouTube, and she said, wow, that's amazing. And I said, wouldn't it be great if we could do something like that here? And she says, Heather says, well, why can't we? And I'll be honest with you, I just looked at her and I thought, she's got to be kidding. So she said, well, why don't we start up a group on Facebook, a private group, ask anybody would they be interested in taking part in such a thing. So we started up a private group, and within a week we had 300 people in the group. And then we were having a cup of coffee one day in the house and we said, we've actually got to do this now, by the way. And
we had taken the plunge
yeah. And we thought, actually, we have got to go actually out there now and get this done. So within a fortnight, there was a committee sitting in my house. We had rounded up people to form a committee, put a constitution together, and people were elected to the committee in proper official capacity.
Yep.
In the normal way a committee would be expected to run. And then we shot with it from there.
Yep.
And it's been in the planning effectively since the first week of November.
And crowdfunding?
Pardon?
Crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding, that was a hard one. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of crowdfunding nowadays, and so many things are looking for charity because of the very same reason that government aren't funding what they should be.
Yep.
And that's why people crowdfund. And when crowdfunders go out for things like this, it's very difficult for us to try and raise some money. But we got there. We got there in the end with the help of SIF. That's the Scottish Independence Foundation.
Yep.
Who awarded us £1,000.
That was great.
We were actually targeting for 5,000. So with that £1,000 award, we only had to work towards 4,000.
Right.
So it was, and we did. We made 4,100 on our crowdfunder, mm-hmm. and then our £1,000 from SIF as well, and that helped us pull all this together.
Yeah. Though this event, this gathering, is still going on at the moment, it's an acorn. This is a start. Would you consider an annual event for Stolen Away now that you've done it?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Oh,
because
definitely.
You'll have built up the enthusiasm here, but
yeah.
also a lot of people will have been observing on the streets of what was going on. There's quite a few people looked like the press and a couple
yeah.
of television cameras around, and I thought, this is getting noticed, this is going to get publicity, which is great for Stolen Away, it's great for the Western Isles, but it's a great springboard for yourself.
It's brilliant. I didn't expect to see any television cameras. I actually thought they'd all be parked in Edinburgh at SNP conference, to
yeah.
be honest. But I was quite surprised when I did come across the first one on the street as
yeah.
we were passing by, and I went, oh my God, TV managed to make it here. The National arrived,
mm-hmm.
which is good. We've got Jerry from Indie Live.
Yep.
And absolutely amazing guy. And yeah, it did actually attract a bit more attention than I thought it was going to.
None of us actually thought
it was going to attract that attention.
But
we are grateful for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's going to help us for the next one.
Yep.
But we're not doing anything towards the next one until at least next month, because
yep.
we are going to have our lives back for at least 1 month before yep. we even go near another one.
Yeah. And you got a lot of support from the mainland.
We did. We had the Yes Bikers, and of course we had the Sir Albert Pipes and Drums, the new Independence Pipe Band, who absolutely looked amazing.
Yep.
They looked absolutely amazing. And wow, what a sound.
Yep.
For a brand new pipe band, guys who have just come together from all over Scotland, England, and there's one from Belgium.
Wow.
So they sounded amazing. They were absolutely fantastic, and everybody thoroughly enjoyed them. And they definitely went down an absolute treat. And of course, we had a great turnout on the Yes Bikers. We had some local bikers as well who joined them
yep.
on the course, on the route. So yeah, it actually had a really good atmosphere about it.
Mm-hmm.
It had a really, there was nothing negative on the streets.
No, not at all.
As we were coming along.
No,
there was lots of waves. I saw two Union Jacks sitting on a garden table.
Oh, well,
if that's all we're going to see, would you know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
no, it was a very family-friendly event, and it was great to see so many smiling faces.
Yeah.
And a lot of spectators with salt eyes as well.
Yes, there was, yeah. So I didn't know.
Maybe they'll come on a march in the future. I think it's people
yeah.
needed to see
yes.
what actually happened.
Yes, and they needed to see that it's not a troublesome thing.
Correct.
They needed to see that it's not a political thing in
yeah.
terms of whether it's SNP, Labour, or
yeah.
Conservative, or Liberal, Democrats.
No,
when we started this, we made a conscious decision that we weren't going to enter into the political spectrum of things. That's not how we wanted to go. We wanted to make this about the people,
yep.
not the parties. Because my own personal view is that no party is going to bring Scotland its independence, not the SNP, not Labour, none of them. The people are going to bring Scotland its independence. The Yes movement are going to make Scotland free.
Yep.
The only thing the party in power at the time is going to do is make that transition easy for us.
Yep.
But that's only my personal view.
Yep. And you've had great facilities. You've had you've organised a stage, which up on a lorry, PA system, music, the speakers, toilet facilities, an office facility, some stalls, and even some food and drink.
Yes.
Meanwhile, tea or coffee.
This is the Outer Hebrides. We like to eat. We're a crafting stock here.
Yeah. Well, finally, I would just congratulate you, Cathy. Thank you very much indeed for putting on the Outer Hebrides for Independence March and Rally, or maybe in the future called the Gathering and Walk.
Well, we're hoping actually that the next one is going to be a celebration march.
Oh, that would be great.
So we're actually hoping the next march is going to be a celebration march.
Cathy, okay. Anyway, thank you for coming, Ray. Thank you very much indeed.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio. Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Live Radio.
Right, my next guest on the IndiePram podcast is Ren Chapman. Now, most people will recognise Ren Chapman for being one of the 500-mile walkers. So, first of all, congratulations on that twice over.
Thank you. That's, twice over. Yeah, it was, which was was interesting thing to do, I think, because both walks were different in a way. I think the first walk we went on, it was very much about it was two things. One was just getting out to people that in a lot of places that I hadn't had any involvement really. They'd not had a walk through the town. They'd not had anybody from the independence movement up there. They got their little Yes hubs, but there was a disconnect. So the idea was to walk down from Skye through. We went all the way down
Peterhead and down through Angus and then down through Stirling.
And we had people who were coming out in some places. They'd never had a march through before, and they got the local piper would come out and would meet us, and then the group would come and walk through the town with us. So it was nice, and people would say, we've never had this before, everybody ignores us up here. so that was really good. But the second one was a different thing altogether.
That was the march to London.
That was the march to London, yeah.
How was that?
That was, well, there was just the two of us. It was me and Carl J. Claridge. And we really set off. It was Nigel Farage announced that he was doing his walk, and they were going to walk 200 and something miles. Some of it was being done on a bus. If you wanted to go, you had to pay 50 quid. There was a whole lot of things, and it was getting massive media coverage, and we felt some grievance really, because it's not a popularity contest, but it's about Scotland and the independence movement getting ignored, in the fact that the year before there had been a big march which had included, it wasn't just the people who were walking, it included Yes groups from across the whole of north and northeast of Scotland, and it was ending in a huge rally in Edinburgh, which was the All Under One Banner rally, which was 100,000 people, and it got barely mentioned by any of the main media.
Yep.
So there was a feeling of anger about that. There was also one of my real bugbears about it was the way that I think the MPs, particularly the SNPs, are treated in Parliament down in the UK. I think it doesn't. the Yes Movement is separate. Is separate from the SNP. They're not the same thing. The Yes Movement is bigger than the SNP, but the SNP is still the biggest party. It's the second biggest now, I think, in the UK. And considering the side of Scotland, that's massive. That is a huge representation of the Scottish people. And yet you get you have the Ian Blackford standing up and being told to go back to Sky.
Yeah.
You have
not on, is it?
Yeah, that's shocking. Yes. I've forgotten actually the context of it, but it was when the guy shouted suicide across the.
I know, it's awful.
Yeah.
Well, you're an English Scot as well as
I. Yes, I am.
And there are so many English Scots for Yes working on behalf of the independence movement. We've got a message to get out there, and one of the things, being on the national committee that we discussed for English Scots for Yes, is that we're too widespread throughout the whole of the nation to actually have a massive focus nationally. We can have a say, but we've got to encourage other English Scots to come along and join as many Yes groups as possible, and be there for canvassing, because I know from my own experience on a stand, on a Yes Bears Den stand or other stands, the reaction is amazing.
Yes.
You know, the people feel completely taken back, because my thoughts are that the anti-English aspect, which was prevalent in 2014, has been completely hit on the head, and we as English are helping that.
Yes, yeah, I think that is very important. In fact, one of the things I was thinking recently was maybe a good way to engage people in conversations about that would be actually if you could write on the back of your T-shirt. Mm-hmm. And you would put on the back of your T-shirt, "I'm English.
Yeah,
I'm voting yes.
Good
ask
one.
Me why."
Nice.
And I think so if you're the sort of person who can engage in conversation, that would be a way of engaging people. I think talking about the march down through England, I think both Carl and I are English-born Scots, and that was another reason. There were so many reasons to go, but another reason was to actually get a message down there that maybe that the Scottish people like English people, and that for English people to say yes, and we like the Scottish, because I do think there's quite a divisive. I'm going to cough. I think there's a divisive thing again in the pushed by the media and the establishment. To give this idea that that we don't like each other, and therefore, anybody living in Scotland who's English, or nobody should go to England who's go to Scotland who's English, and I think that is really driven. And anything that can be done to get a message across that is not the case.
Yeah.
I'm not saying every English person in Scotland would vote yes, because that's a kind of normal thing. But there are people I know. The last Glasgow march, talking to people who are married to English people, and their wives or husband wouldn't come because they were worried of their accents, that people would not be nice to them because they had an English accent. And it's a nonsense.
Absolutely.
A complete and utter nonsense. Yeah, I think on the Twitter feeds and everything, you'll get English people saying, can I come to Scotland? And all you get is a big long list of people saying, yeah, I'll put the kettle on. And that's it's a very, I think that's another thing about the independence movement. I think it is a movement, and I think it's a very open and it's a very inclusive movement. And I almost want to say that the Scottishness and independence is about a way of thinking rather than just being, this is where you were born, so therefore this is us. I think it's a lot broader than that. I think, and I think one of the reasons I support it so avidly, which I do, is because I think other sections of the UK have not got that tolerance. That's going back to Nigel Farage, where I came in, I think.
Absolutely.
I think that's,
Now, there's going to be another 500-mile walk, or is that you?
I think, after the last one, I don't think they will. I don't, it's thinking about whether there would be a purpose for another 500-mile walk.
Maybe a celebration one?
You can't, maybe. Now, if there was a celebration to be had, I'd walk another 500. I would walk and walk.
Well, Ren, I can guarantee you're going to have another 500-mile walk.
Oh, God, I've committed myself now.
There's no if about it. It's when. We don't know the timing. We shouldn't really be pushing it. I think those in control have got some right ideas. I personally would prefer maybe a little bit earlier, but we shall just wait and see, because everything comes to those who wait.
Yes, I think so too.
Ren, it's been great chatting to you.
Thank you. It's been lovely chatting to you too. Bye.
Indie Prime, Indie Prime on Indie Live Radio. Indie Prime,
Right, my next guest on the Indie Pram podcast is Cheryl Scott, and she's a member of the Sore Alba Pipe and Drum Band.
Hello, we just met randomly today. That was really nice.
We're sitting at the moment at Luskintyre Beach, but yesterday was the first opportunity for the band to play.
Yeah. It was really good. We'd planned to play the first outing would be Glasgow, but then the Hebrides invited us all over. Some of us could make it. There was only probably about half the band there, but absolutely fabulous.
So how many were there yesterday?
Oh, there were, sorry, like I didn't count. Two minibus, about three minibus loads.
Yep.
Which is probably about half-ish the band. Yeah.
Right. Tell me, how did the band start? Where did the idea come from? And how did you get your members?
There was always an idea, you know, that there was odd pipers playing on their own, and they always felt that there was a dearth of sound and enthusiasm and morale boosting on the parades, on the marches. So it's actually a chap, Derek Campbell, who is a piper at the Hoyt Scout Band that I play in, and he met with George Kempick. And George is always well known for being dressed in all the saltire blue suit. And they were chatting, and then they met up with a friend of theirs called Jim Edwards. And they decided that they would form a band. Sore Alba Independence Pipes and Bands then started, Pipes and Drums. And it just sort of grew from there. They needed someone who, Jim Edwards, who would do the fundraising. He's done a fantastic job of fundraising, sorting out rules, regulations, buying kit, all this kind of stuff. And they've each taken sort of different roles, you know. They formed a committee. At the same time, Neil Clark was, Neil Clark's very famous piper, Falkirk piper. Neil came on board to be the lead piper. He taught them a lot. He's done a lot of piping and, you know, sets that he's put onto Facebook so they could all learn, because obviously they're from all over the place, so we couldn't do face-to-face. Ewan Much, who lives in Eyemouth, Ewan came on board as lead drummer. They didn't want it to be a military sort of format, so it's not pipe major and drum major, it's lead pipe, lead drummer. So Neil Clark was very busy. Other things, so he taught a lot and then he left. So Sandy Much, who had done a lot of military piping and whatever, he teaches as well, he then became lead piper. So that was the main committee there. So you have Ewan and Sandy Much, the brothers, and you have Derek Campbell, who has now stepped back from the committee. It was a lot of work. And then you have Jim and George on the committee.
You're quite spread apart, so So how did you manage to deal with rehearsals and getting yourselves organised on that side?
Sort of areas. The Glasgow areas, they met in a certain place. The Highlands, they met in a certain place. The Borders met at my stables. Derek Campbell has a workshop over in Hoyt, so we met there for a while. Just wherever we could. The Woodcutter Pub in Langley and Galashiels, a very strong SNP Yes group. They said we can use their pub. So we just met where we could, and then we started meeting mostly sort of monthly at a place in Blair Drummond. There was a really, really good hall there. The acoustics are fantastic, so it's sort of central from everyone all around all the various areas. We have a chap who comes over, he works for the EU, so he comes over from Brussels and Belgium. Sometimes he's in France. They come from a long way. There's a chap who comes all the way from way down in England, he comes up. So, yeah, pretty spread out. We do a lot of, online stuff, you know. They do Skype and WhatsApp and live filming and the practice, especially the drums. Ewan, as a teacher of drums, you know, to the Falkland Islands as well.
Cool.
So he puts on videos and then the drummers can practice with him. He does snare drumming.
Great. Now, Stornoway was your first outing.
Yeah.
How did it go?
It was really good, actually. A little drizzle of rain, but then it went away. But they were very enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. There was a good company. They were really happy to see us, and we were all really happy to come. They did a really good fundraiser. They're absolutely superb. They treated us really well.
Great.
Yeah.
And plans for the future?
Every March there is.
Every March?
Every March there will be AUB marches, there will be Yes marches, we will be at them all as independents. We're not specifically AUB, you know.
Yeah.
But we will be at every March. There will be some of the Sir Alba band here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
If not all.
Super. Well, I wish you great success in the future and those on the walks and also at the gatherings and spectators will... Yeah. Thoroughly enjoy what your input is.
Yeah. Well, Glasgow's the next big one next week.
Uh-huh.
That'll be an absolutely enormous march. And we're planning to march all the way. And at the bottom, we'll be playing down at the bottom as well. So hopefully we'll see a good lot of people there.
Great.
A lot of the Yes Bikers will play for them too. So yep.
Super. Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you. No problem.
Indie Prime, yes, Indie Prime, on Indie Library.